Amen. How many of you would testify that it's better today than it was when you got saved? Amen. That tells you that the honeymoon's not over then, right? That spiritual honeymoon. If it's not better today than it was when you got saved, which that was a great day, but I'm going to tell you, just like that song that my mother just sang, the longer I serve Him, the sweeter it gets, the sweeter it grows, and we're thankful for that. Amen. I like that new song. How many of you enjoyed that new song about His mercy is more? I'm going to tell you, I can relate to that because my sins were many, but I'm thankful that there was more than enough mercy to go around. Just like as the Apostle Paul writes in the book of Romans chapter 6, where grace abounded, or where sin abounded, grace did what? Much more abound. In other words, there's more than enough grace to go around. There's more than enough of God's wonderful mercy to go around as well. Let's take our Bibles this morning, turn to the Gospel according to John, John's Gospel. The fourth of the Gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and what? Okay. Just want to make sure everybody was alive and well, still breathing. If you're breathing, if you're alive, look up this way and smile. Say, I love you, preacher. Okay, good. That got a smile out of some of you. Some of you's frowning, so, okay. Hey, they don't fool me. They don't fool me. Can't even fool the Lord for sure. Amen. John chapter number 1. Let's stand together as we honor the reading of God's Word. I want to read verses 11 through 13. Just three simple verses here. Bible describes here in verse number 11, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. I'd like to bring a message this morning entitled this, What You Receive When You Receive Him. What you receive when you receive Him. Have you ever wondered at times in your life when you do something that, what do I get out of the deal? What do I get out of it? I think about the Apostle Peter over in the book of Matthew chapter 20. After the tremendous story that the Lord taught of the rich young ruler there, you know, and he literally rejecting the Lord because of his great possessions that he had. And then Peter stands up and says, Lord, we have forsaken all. What shall we have therefore? In other words, what do we get out of the deal? We think about that. What do we get out of the deal? And so that's what this message is all about this morning, is what do we get out of the deal? What do we get out of receiving Jesus as our Savior and our Lord? I'm going to tell you, a lot more than you would ever imagine. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we bow in Your presence, we're so thankful that we can gather in Your name. Thankful for the wonderful singing and our hearts lifting up our voices in praise to You. Lord, I pray that, as always, that it was an offering and a sacrifice unto You, a sweet-smelling savor. I pray that it was acceptable in Your sight today. Father, I pray now for the Word of God as it goes forth. We know that it will not return void, but it will accomplish that which You please today. And I pray that You would use it for Your glory. You would use it for our betterment. Use it for that one that does not know Christ as their personal Savior. And today, may it be the day of their salvation. Lord, we commit all things to You. We pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. The first thought that I would like for you to look at this morning, we find there in verse number 12, which is primarily our text verse. The Bible said, but as many as received Him. The first thing that I'd like to do this morning is identify Him, who Him is. We ask the question, who is this one that we speak of? Brother Ron was talking about that in Sunday school this morning. And what think ye of Christ? Or like the apostles, as over in Matthew chapter 16, when Jesus said, whom do men say I, the Son of Man, am? Well, some say that or Elias or Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But then Jesus pinpointed the disciples there, the apostles, the one that he had chosen. And he asked them specifically, whom do ye say that I, the Son of Man, am? And of course, Peter stood up and spoke there unto the Lord and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So we find there in this text, but as many as received him is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Him speaks of the rejected one. Notice in verses 10 and verse 11, he was in the world and the world was made by him and the world knew him not. It's a sad commentary today that there are many people out there in this world today that do not know Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about knowing him in a personal way as Savior. They have never heard of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I remember years ago we were having vacation Bible school at our home church, and we had these two little black girls that happened to come to vacation Bible school, rode our bus, and those that were teaching vacation Bible school began to talk about Jesus. And these two little girls, they asked, they said, Who is Jesus? We've never heard that name before. Do we not take for granted here in the United States of America that wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you realize that there are people out here that have never heard of Him? The one, the rejected one that we call the Lord Jesus Christ? They've never heard of that precious name, the name that is above every name, that at that name of Jesus, every knee one day will bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There are many people that have not heard that name. But we know that He is the rejected one. He was in the world and the world was made by Him and the world knew Him not. Verse 11 says, He came unto His own. And His own received Him not. In other words, His own people, the Jewish nation, rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why the prophet Isaiah said that He was despised and rejected of man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. So Him speaks of the rejected one. Him also speaks of the reconciling one. The reconciling one, Colossians 1:20 says this, And having made peace, through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. We think about this one who is rejected, who is despised of men, and how the Bible describes that one in whom we receive as the reconciling one, the one that came to reconcile men back unto God so that they could have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Do you realize today that Jesus Christ bridged the gap for you and me to have access back to God, to reconcile us back to Him, that we might have a personal relationship with God the Father? Had it not been for Jesus, think about this, we'd still be lost. We'd still be in our sin. We'd still be on our way to hell. Had it not been for the reconciling power of the Lord Jesus Christ and the blood of that cross that reconciles us. Not only do we describe Him, and does that Him speak of the rejected one and the reconciling one, but Him also speaks of the redeeming one. The redeeming one. The Bible says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of our sin. Him speaks of the one that lived a perfect, sinless life and died for you and me. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, For he hath made Him, that's Jesus, for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. So Him speaks of that rejected one, the reconciling one. The Bible there speaks of Him as the redeeming one, but it also speaks of Him as the remarkable one. Brother Ron talked about this in Sunday school as far as creation. Listen to the words of in the Bible in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. The Bible says, For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. We're talking about this morning the one that we receive. As the scripture says, but as many as received Him. That's what we're trying to identify this morning, is the one that we receive. So Him speaks of the redeeming one. Also the remarkable one. But Him also speaks of the resurrected one. The resurrected one. Think of the Lord Jesus Himself. How the Bible describes the gospel message in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 1 through 4 when He says, I declare unto you the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, how that He was buried, and how that He did what? He rose again according to the scripture. As the Lord Himself declared in the book of Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18 when He said, I am He that liveth and was what? Dead. Behold, and am alive forevermore, and have the keys of death and of hell. As He declared there throughout the scripture that He was the one, as He said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again. You remember very early in the morning when the women went to the sepulcher and they found the stone rolled away. And the great angels there were said, why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here, for what? He has risen as He said. So when we think of that word Him here, the Bible speaks of that one as the resurrected one. Him also speaks of the one that ascended back into heaven to intercede on our behalf. Because 40 days after the glorious resurrection, Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, ascended back where He is seated now at the right hand of the throne of God. And the Bible declares and reminds us that He ever lives to make intercession for you and me. Him speaks also of the returning one. The returning one. In the book of Acts chapter 1 and verse number 11, the Bible declares there, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up into heaven from you shall so come in like manner as you have seen Him go into heaven. Him speaks of the one that is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, as Jude reminds us in verse number 23. What you receive when you receive Jesus. Think on that thought this morning. The Bible said, but as many as received Him. I hope today you've got a clear picture of Him, the one that we're talking about, the Lord Jesus, the Redeemer, the reconciling one, the rejected one, the remarkable one, the resurrected one, and the returning one. I hope today you have a clear picture of the one that we received this morning. But my first question this morning to you all is this. Have you received Him? That's the real question today. He said, for as many, but as many as received Him. Literally, it doesn't make any difference. There we find the context there, or the description of whosoever will. What a great promise that we have, that it makes no difference. As Paul writes, there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon His name. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Let's reflect on the word receive just for a moment. The word receive means to take possession of something offered to you. To take possession of something that is offered unto you. That means to receive it or to take it from somebody else. I'm going to tell you, if I had a stack of bills here today, maybe dollar bills, you may not receive it. But if I had a stack of $100 bills and I came up to you, Drew, and I said, here you go, buddy, I got something for you. What would you do with that? Man, you'd take it, wouldn't you? Somebody came up to me with a stack of $100 bills today and said, here you go, preacher. Or if somebody wanted to write me or write the church a check for $50,000 or $100,000 for our building program, I'd say hallelujah. Brother Phil may have a heart attack, though. We don't want to lose him that way. What would you do with it? You'd receive it, right? You wouldn't turn it away if somebody offered you something great and spectacular like that. So the word receive means to take possession of something that is offered to you. We'll see what is offered to us in a few moments. It means to accept as authoritative or true. To accept as authoritative or as true. When God speaks, folks, it's authoritative. And when God speaks, it's true. I'm going to tell you, you can carry it to the bank. It also refers to accepting a gift. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the Word of God tells us there, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's the gift. There's what we can receive. There's the gift. Salvation, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We can either receive it or we can reject it. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. See, the Lord's invitation, that's the gift. That's what's offered. Just like the Lord offered the gift to the rich young ruler. But the rich young ruler rejected that glorious gift, as many today still do. We're reminded of the Lord's great invitation that if any man thirst, let him come and do what? Take of the water of life freely. The Lord doesn't force this on you. The Lord offers it as a gift unto you. What you do with that gift will determine where you spend eternity. Either you receive it or you reject it. But as many as received Him, the Bible said, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. That invitation also consists of coming unto the Lord to find rest. In Matthew 11, 28, the Lord says, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You know, today there are people out there that need rest, that want rest, that are looking for rest, but they won't look to Him for that rest. They won't come to Him. They won't receive Him for that rest. Folks, if you want rest, real, genuine rest, if you want eternal rest one day from your labors, you need to come to the Lord. You need to come to Him. You need to receive Him as your Savior today. Isaiah 1:18 says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, yet they shall be as wool. See, the Lord offers to you this morning His love. His love. But God commendeth His love toward us. For God so loved the world, a world that rejected Him, a world that was made by Him, a world that refused to come to Him. He loved the world, not the things of this world, but the people, the mankind, the humanity of this world is whom God loved. For God so loved the world that what did He do? He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God has offered, has extended that love. Will you receive that love today? To receive Him is to receive His love. Do you realize today that the Lord offers His mercy? We sang every song this morning. We sang of the mercies of God. Do you realize that He offers that? He extends the mercy to you? Now, of course, we know how grace and mercy has been described and how it's been defined. Grace can be described or defined as God's redemption at Christ's expense. It can also be described like this, of getting what we do not deserve. How many of you think today that we deserve the great blessings of God? How many of you think today that we deserve a home in heaven, our names written in heaven? How many of you think that we deserve the robe of God's righteousness that is placed upon us? How many of you think that we deserve that one day we'll walk the street of gold? We'll dwell in a place of tremendous beauty and blessings in a place called heaven? How many of you think that we deserve to have a new body one day? Recreated, reformed, transformed by the power of God. A body that'll never know pain, sorrow, sickness, or death. Folks, we don't deserve that. Grace is getting what we do not deserve. Mercy can be described like this, not getting what we do deserve. What do we deserve? We deserve death and hell. We deserve to suffer in our human state. Now, sad to say, some people think, man, God, you've got a great catch when you've got me. Prophet Isaiah said that all of our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf. Paul writes, and he describes there in Romans chapter 3 that we are there's no fear of God before our eyes. That we're all gone out of way. We are all become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. All of us deserve hell. But through God's mercy, something that we don't deserve. So see, these are things that God offers. His love, His mercy, His grace, His salvation. Do you realize in the Old Testament the story of Noah and the ark is a picture of God's great salvation? The ark in itself is a picture of God's salvation, God's redemption, God's plan of salvation. Remember how God told Noah to prepare the ark, to build the ark, and he did according to all that God had commanded. The Bible says, thus did Noah. That's why Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, was because he obeyed God and he believed God. And just like Abraham, Noah's faith was counted unto him for righteousness, and that's why Noah and his family entered into the ark, a picture of God's salvation. But think about all of humanity. What did humanity do in that day and time? All but the eight people, Noah, his three sons, and their wives. What happened to all the others? The others perished. Why? Because they did not receive, they rejected God's salvation. The ark was God's redemption, God's plan of redemption, a place of safety for whosoever will. See, today you either receive it or you reject it. You remember Pilate? You remember Pilate and the dilemma that he faced when he asked the people the question when he said, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? That's a similar question that we're all faced with today. But gladly I can say, I've already answered that question. Because there was a day and time in my life when I received Christ as my personal Savior, when I realized that I was a lost, hell-bound sinner and that I needed Christ in my life. Of course, you all know that. I've got a spiritual birthday coming up here in just about a month on October the 4th. That's my spiritual birthday. A day that I'll never forget, a day that I received Him, the one that we talked about. him that the Bible speaks of as that rejected one, and that reconciling one, and that redeeming one, and that reconciling one, and that resurrected one, and that remarkable one, and that returning one. I received him. What do we receive when we receive him, though? What do we receive? The Bible said, but as many as received him. What do we get out of the deal? Let me say, we receive the authority to be called the children of God. The authority, the power. Notice right here, the Bible says, but as many as received him. To them, that means us that have received him, that have received Jesus. To them gave he power, authority, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. We receive the authority to be called the children of God. Listen to how Paul describes it in the book of Romans chapter 8. In verse number 14, he says, for as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, we may be also glorified together. Folks, when we receive him, we have the authority of God himself. We have the power of all of heaven out there to declare that we are the children of God. I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of Almighty God. You are as well by receiving him. We have that authority that is given to us by God himself. That's what he says. And it comes by receiving him. Now, what is the process of receiving him? Notice there's three things, or the format of receiving him we find in verse number 12. Look at the last sentence there where the word believe is. Here's the format, here's the direction. Believe, receive, and do what? Become. That's the three words. You ought to circle those three words, underline those three words in that verse right there and remember them. First of all is believing. We receive him by believing. Once we believe in him, what do we believe? We believe that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. We believe that he was buried, and we believe that he arose again the third day according to the Scripture. As Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, brethren, I not have you to be ignorant concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. There is the prerequisite to receiving Jesus as our personal Savior, is believing. Do you believe? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever what? Believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. There's the key. That the world through him might be saved. Believing. John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him. There's that word him again. Who's it speaking of? Jesus. Believeth on him, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is what? Passed from death unto life. Over 90 times in the book of John alone, the Bible said, believe, 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 believe. If you're going to be saved, you've got to believe. You've got to believe in Jesus. You've got to believe that he was born of a virgin. You've got to believe that he is God incarnate in the flesh. You've got to believe those cardinal doctrines. Folks, you can't be saved if you don't believe that the Lord Jesus is virgin born. You say, why is that so important? You realize today, if Jesus was not born of a virgin, if he was not miraculously and supernaturally conceived through the Holy Spirit of God, that he would have been no different than you and me. He would have been born a sinner just like you and me. Brother Ron spoke of the impeccability of Jesus Christ. That means that he was sinless. Because his father was sinless. So believe. The next step is receive. What is that? That goes back to taking possession of something that is offered to us. That's where I have accepted it. What? How? By faith. By faith. As I quoted a few moments ago, Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through what? Faith. That not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's receiving that gift. Accepting what God has offered. God has offered every individual eternal life, salvation. We must receive that. That means to accept it. That means to accept as authoritative and as true. That's why he said in Titus chapter 1 and verse number 2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie did what? Promise before the foundation of the world. Goes back to whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall what? Be saved. We realize it's more than just saying, Lord, save me. It's believing and having faith of what Christ has done for us and what he will do for us. He will save us. But if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we see there the believe, the receive, and then what happened? Once we have received, what happened? There's a transformation. We become the sons of God. We become the children of the Almighty King, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. That's what we receive, the authority to be called the children of God. How does all of this transpire? It transpires through the new birth. Notice in verse 13, he said, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. John Phillips in his commentary puts it this way. It's not of human descent. That is not of blood. It wasn't through our ancestors that gives us access to God or gives us salvation. It's not through our ancestry. We're not saved because grandma and grandpa or great-grandma and great-great-grandpa or mom and dad or whoever. It's not through our ancestry. It's not through our human descent. Then he describes it, it's not through our human desire. That's where it describes, nor the will of the flesh. You know, there are people that have desired to be saved but never have been saved. I remember for months and months and months, there was a man named Winter Swapshire. When I had my first ministry at the McGuffey's Healthcare back many years ago, I consider that my first pastorate. That was my first church, even though it was a nursing home. We'd meet there every Tuesday. But I'd go to Mr. Swapshire's room every week. He grew up in a Methodist church, spent 60 years as the organist or the pianist of a Methodist church. He had a plaque on his wall in the nursing home. Said 60 years of faithful service. And I'd talk to him about salvation. And you know what he'd always do? I'd talk to him about being saved, and he'd point to that plaque. And I'd say, Mr. Swapshire, I said, that plaque or what's on that plaque won't ever get you to heaven. He said, I was the organist for 60 years in the Methodist Church. I said, that's great. That's commendable. But that's not going to get you to heaven. I finally came to the point the Holy Spirit arrested his soul and he realized that he was lost. But he was so engrossed in the feeling and the desire that I've got to do something. He wanted to be saved, and for weeks I'd go in there to the room and he'd say, I want to be saved, but I've got to do something. I said, you don't have to do anything. I said, it's been done. Christ did it all for you. He paid the price. He paid the ultimate sacrifice for you and for me and for all of mankind. I said, all you've got to do is accept it. All you've got to do is receive it. And when you do, you'll become a child of the King. Week after week, I'd go in there and I'd talk to him and I'd witness to him and I'd sow the seed over and over and over and over again. And one Tuesday night, I went in there and I was talking to him in his room. His countenance had already changed. And he said, Preacher, he said, I'm ready to be saved. We can't desire it, folks. In other words, we can't make it happen. It's a gift. We receive it by faith. That's where he had to come. He had to come to the place where he was really willing to receive what God had said in his word by faith. And that night, he called upon the name of the Lord by faith and accepted Jesus as his personal Savior. A few weeks later, Mr. Swapshire breathed his last breath and he went home to glory. Why? Because he had received him. Thanks be unto God. So we see not of human descent, not of human desire, nor of human design. He said, nor of the will of man. Nor of the will of man. But of God. Folks, to receive Him, you have to receive Him. It's all a working of God. Salvation, redemption, it's not through our deeds. Paul writes in Titus chapter 3 and verse number 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. You remember when Nicodemus came to Him? Nicodemus was a good man, was he not? Nicodemus was a righteous man. He was a ruling man. He was a rich man. He had everything going for him. But what did Jesus tell Nicodemus? He said, Nicodemus, except a man be what? Born again, he shall not see the kingdom of God. What was his response? His response was human. How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus explained the natural birth, and then he explained the spiritual birth, and he reminded him once again, ye must be born again. We're talking about what we do when we receive Him. And what we receive when we do receive Him. What do we receive? We receive the authority to be called the children of God. The power, the authority, the might. We have God's Word and God Himself that backs that up. A few other things that we have that we receive when we receive Him, we receive His love. We receive all of the love that God has for us, all of it, every ounce of it. I have every ounce of God's love in my being. I experience every ounce of. I have the resource of God's love right there, right here with me every moment of every day. When we receive Him, we receive all of His mercy, all of His salvation. We receive the Holy Spirit of God. You know, there are people in the world, religious people today, that have a tendency to lean toward certain things about the Holy Spirit of God, about a special anointing, or have you received the Holy Spirit of God? Now realize, in Old Testament days and prior to the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was given for special tasks. There were special anointings that the Holy Spirit was given to individuals. You remember after David's sin, that was part of David's cry of repentance. And in Psalms 51, he said, "And remove not thy Holy Spirit from me." The Holy Spirit in the Old Testament days would come upon people for certain events and certain things that was transpiring. But prior to the Lord's crucifixion and death on the cross and His glorious resurrection, He promised something to the apostles, to the believers, that He would not leave them comfortless, but that He would send them to Him or to them. And who was that? That was the Holy Spirit. And on the day of Pentecost, they were that glorious day that promise was fulfilled. From that day forward, when people get saved, they get the Holy Spirit of God. I didn't get a third or half of the Holy Spirit of God, or 50% here and 75% there. I got 100% of the Holy Spirit of God. It's a gift of God. So when we receive Him, we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 2 talks about that. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Said, because of their belief, they received the gift of the Holy Ghost of God. So we get that gift. When we receive Him, we get 100% of the Holy Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about it. For we are all baptized by one Spirit. That is the Holy Spirit of God. Baptized. We're immersed. In other words, reminding us that we get all of the Holy Spirit that we'll ever get. Now the big problem is yielding to the Holy Spirit of God. We get all of Him, but how much of us does He get of us is the real question. So when we receive Him, we receive the authority to be called the children of God. We get His love, we get His mercy, we get His grace, we get His salvation, we get the gift of the Holy Spirit, but folks, we also get eternal life. Eternal life. That means at the moment in time when you trusted Christ as your personal Savior, and a lot of times we look at it like this right here, that we don't enjoy the blessings of eternal life until what? After we pass. Folks, God wants us to enjoy the blessing and the promises of eternal life now. Right now. To enjoy it now. As I heard my pastor back many years, Brother Joe Cooper, he said this. He said, there are too many people, too many Christians today that are enduring their eternal life. God doesn't want us to endure it. God wants us to enjoy it. Because at the very moment in time when I trusted Christ as my personal Savior, when you trusted Christ as your personal Savior, God gave to you eternal life at that moment. That means life eternal. That means that if you closed your eyes in death, what? You'd be just like Jesus taught at the graveside of Lazarus. When He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me, what? Shall never die. What is that? That's life eternal. Yes, one day our eyes are going to close in death. But immediately what's going to transpire? We're going to wake up in the presence of Almighty God. That is eternal life. And we have that promise now. It's a present day possession that God wants us to enjoy. And we get eternal life when we receive Him. We receive that gift of eternal life. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 11, He says, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whosoever has the Son has life, and whosoever hath not the Son of God hath not life. In verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know. Know what? That you may know that you have eternal life, and that life is in his Son. Folks, we have eternal life. When we receive him, we receive eternal life. When we receive him, we receive forgiveness of sin. Forgiveness of sin, pardon. Not just once. I'm glad today that all of my sin is under the blood. All of my sin. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Yes, preacher, I realize that when I got saved that the Lord washed all my sins away. Do you realize that did happen. But the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is not just a cleansing agent when we need it for salvation. It's a cleansing agent in our life every day of our life. That's why he goes on to say in verse number 9 that if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we receive him, we receive forgiveness of sin. Every time we go before the throne of grace and we cry out, God, Lord Jesus, I have failed you. I have been angry. I have been bitter. I have been unkind. I've had evil thoughts. Lord, I have done this and I've done this that is contrary to your word. Will you forgive me of that? Will you cleanse me of that? He says at that moment in time that your sin are remembered no more. That's what we receive when we receive him. Pardon. Do you realize what a pardon is? The prophet Isaiah says in chapter 55, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thought. Let him return unto him and he will have mercy upon him for what he will abundantly pardon. You know, when you're pardoned, do you realize that when an individual is pardoned, that they can never be tried for the crime that they were accused of again? Do you realize that? If I had committed murder, and the governor or the president or whoever declared and gave me a pardon, I could never be tried for that murder again. Why? Because I had been pardoned. Do you realize that the extent of God, what that means? That means when the Lord forgives us and he pardons us, that we'll never stand before him for that crime or that sin ever again. It is cast into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered anymore. I'll shout hallelujah right there. That's what we receive when we receive him. We receive a full pardon. You realize we receive a spiritual makeover, a transformation? A spiritual transformation, a spiritual makeover. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, what? He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When we receive him, we receive knowledge and understanding of spiritual things. I've heard people say, well, preacher, I just don't understand certain things about the Bible. Well, some are maybe difficult to understand. God will give understanding to those that need understanding. But I've dealt with a lot of lost people over the years that say, well, you know, I just don't understand the Bible. They'll never understand the Bible till they get saved. They'll never understand God. And even in our greatest moment, we're never going to fully understand God. Was it not Job that said, can anyone by searching find out God? We can't understand the vastness, the greatness, and the power of Almighty God. As the prophet Isaiah said in 55, His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts, saith the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God Himself was saying, you can't understand me. But through the Holy Spirit of God, He gives the Christian an understanding and a knowledge of spiritual things. That's what happens when we receive Him, is we receive that. Knowledge and understanding of spiritual things. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, but the natural man. The natural man speaks of the lost man. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. Why? Because he's spiritually discerned. Lost man's not going to understand it. But when we receive him, folks, we receive knowledge and understanding of spiritual things as God directs us and gives us those things. Folks, when we receive him, we receive a home in heaven, a promised home. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither entered into the hearts of man the things that God had prepared for them that love him. I'm going to tell you, God's got good things in store for those that receive him, that await him, and one of them's a home in heaven. We sing the story about victory in Jesus, and we sing about that glorious mansion. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Who's he going to receive? He's going to receive those that have received him. My question is again, have you received him? What do we receive when we receive him? We receive the promise of his presence. The promise of his presence. What did Jesus tell us as a child of God? We don't have to worry. We don't have to worry about him being with us. You remember what he said to Joshua over in the book of Joshua chapter 1? After the death of Moses, he said, Joshua, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For I, the Lord God, am with thee whithersoever thou goest. He said, as I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. What a promise. God's with us. When we receive him, we receive the promise of his presence. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. The writer there tells us that we're to let our conversation, our lifestyle, be without covetousness. And he says, be content with such things as you have, for he, that's the Lord, has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. In our darkest hour, the Lord's with us. In our grandest moment, the Lord is with us. He's always with us. And that is a result of us receiving him. We receive the promise of his presence for receiving him. What else do we receive? We receive his power. That power comes through the Holy Spirit of God. That power is used as a witnessing tool, as an agent to boldly speak the name of Christ. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. When we receive him, we receive the promise of his presence, the promise of his power. What about the promise of his peace? I've got a peace that this world does not know. If you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you've received him, you have received that peace. That's the peace of God, the peace with God, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding. In John 14, 27, Jesus comforting the heart of the believers there and his followers said, my peace I leave with you. Not as the world give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You realize when we receive him, we also receive the promise of his protection. I don't have to fear. I don't have to fear anything. Psalms 27 verse 1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I don't have to fear man. In fact, the Bible says in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We're guaranteed God's protection when we receive Him. What about His provision? Any doing without today? In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, He said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. Take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, or wherewithal shall you be clothed," Jesus taught there in Matthew chapter 6. Then He uses the great example of the fowl of the air and the lilies of the field and how He cares and takes care of them. And then He reminds the listeners, "Are ye not much better than they, O ye of little faith?" Did not Paul declare in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, "But my God," is He your God? If you've received Him today, He's your God. Because you're a child of God, you have received the authority, the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. "But my God shall." That word "shall" carries a great weight. That's an anchor, folks. "But my God shall supply all. Remember what Dr. Jasmine used to say about that word? That word "all" means all, and that's all that all means. All. That means every need that you've got. Every need He is supplying. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. What did the psalmist say in Psalms 37? "I once was young and now I'm old, and I've what? Not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." We're talking about the things that we receive when we receive Him. Provisions. We receive the promise of His provision that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Every need will be met. He said, "But as many as received Him, Jesus, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." My question is today, once again, have you received Him? You say, "Preacher, well, I'm having a hard time seeing all these things in my life. I didn't even scratch the surface of all the things that we receive when we receive Him. I just gave you a few of the great ones. I kind of gave you the icing on the cake this morning. There's so many other things out there that await us to those that have believed on His name, those that have trusted Him as their Savior, those that have received, accepted what He's offered. Have you accepted today what the Lord has offered you, the gift of eternal life? That's really where it all begins. Life begins after we're born into the family of God. We're birthed into His family, spiritually reborn, when we accept Him as our personal Savior. Have you personally received Him this morning? If you've received Him, all these other things are there awaiting you. All you have to do is take possession of what God has offered you. Here it is. You remember last Sunday night we looked at the Israelites. God promised them a land. He said, "There it is. All you got to do is go in and do what? Receive it. All you got to do is go in and take possession of it." And they wouldn't. Primarily because of fear. Folks, you don't have to fear when you put your trust in God. When you turn things over to God, we don't have to fear. We don't have to worry. That's why today I can say, I don't fear, I don't worry about my salvation. Not one bit. Because the Bible says that I am kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last times. I'm reminded in the book of John chapter 10 when Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and I give unto them what? Eternal life. There's another thing that we receive when we receive Him. And I give unto them eternal life and they shall what? Never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. For God is greater than all. No man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. So much out there. We could go on and on and on. Have you received Him today? It's out there. It awaits you. Salvation, if you need it. Or whatever else of the Lord, once you've received Him, the resources are there for you. They're there as a gift. All we have to do is receive them by faith. Will you stand with me, heads bowed and eyes closed? Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. Thank You, Lord, for the truth that we sing today, Lord, of this glorious gift of salvation. And Lord, the benefits of it all. We thank You, Lord, that when we receive You, Lord, by faith, believing, Lord, there's so many other things that await us that we receive in return. We thank You for those promises and for those glorious gifts. Help us to enjoy them. Help us to claim them by faith, not through ignorance, not through arrogance, Lord, but through faith today. Help us to receive these things. And once again, if there's one here today or listening who does not know Christ as their personal Savior, I pray that today they'd come to You by faith, that they would believe, that they would receive, and so doing, they would become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Bless this invitation. We commit it to You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.